Welcome to The Deep Dive. If you're anything like us, you've probably been caught up in this whirlwind around artificial intelligence. You hear it all, right? One minute it's changing everything, the next it's, panic stations, and then honestly, it just gets confusing. There's been so much noise about AI changing the world, but maybe lately you're feeling a bit more skepticism or just tuning it out. Well, you're definitely not alone there. Today, we're doing a deep dive into something really interesting, this idea that the big AI hype might actually be over. And the kicker is, that could actually be really good news for you.
Exactly. And it's crucial to understand, we're not talking about AI itself failing.
Yeah.
Not at all. What we're seeing is more like a correction in how AI has been sold, how it's been presented. We're shifting away from this sort of magic wand idea.
Yeah, it's a quick fix for everything.
Towards understanding AI as, well, a set of practical tools, things that can genuinely help enhance what you do, rather than being some kind of crutch or, frankly, just another empty buzzword.
That makes a lot more sense. So today, our goal is basically to cut through all that hype. We want to look at why that initial buzz died down, figure out which AI applications are actually, delivering value, and give you a kind of simple no-hype rulebook, like a field guide, maybe, to help you make AI work for you in your life, your work, without all the usual headaches. Okay, so let's just dive right in. For years, we kept hearing about this incredible, almost exponential growth in AI adoption. Like, every company was jumping on board. But now, some recent reports, they're painting a different picture, aren't they? Makes you stop and think, hang on, does AI actually work like we thought it did?
It's definitely the question on a lot of minds.
Yeah.
And yeah, the numbers are starting to tell a pretty clear story. There was a recent report, I think it was T3N, that highlighted AI adoption in the U.S. actually declining for the first time since this whole boom started.
Declining. Wow.
Yeah. After all those billions poured in, we're seeing a bit of a reality check hitting businesses.
That's a huge shift from the usual narrative. What did those numbers actually look like? Can you break that down a bit?
Sure. So the data shows only about 12% of large U.S. companies are actively using AI now. That's down from 14%.
Okay. A noticeable drop.
And for small businesses,
yeah,
usage is pretty much flat, stagnant. There's only been a tiny bit of growth in the really small ones, the micro businesses, like under 4 employees.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not just about using it either. An MIT study back in August 2025 found something pretty staggering.
What was that?
Get this. 95% of companies using AI right now, they aren't seeing any extra revenue from it.
95%. Wow. That's a massive disconnect between the investment and the return. What about the wider economy? Jobs?
Well, connecting the dots, if you look at the U.S. labor market data from the Bureau of Labor Statistics around September 2025, they found the economy created almost 1 million fewer jobs, 991,000 fewer than they first thought.
1 million fewer. Goodness.
And the tech industry specifically, the sector most exposed to AI automation, it actually saw employment drop by 3%.
Hmm. So those numbers really challenge that idea of AI immediately boosting everything, don't they?
They certainly make you question the immediate impact, yeah.
And it's not just statistics, is it? I heard even some top tech leaders like Demis Hassabis from DeepMind.
That's right.
Admitting they'd almost prefer to keep AI development behind closed doors in the labs for longer.
Yeah, which is telling, isn't it? If the people actually building this stuff are saying that.
It really makes you wonder about that whole initial AI will change everything overnight story. So what does this reality check, this disconnect, actually mean for us trying to figure all this out?
Well, yeah, looking at those numbers and the challenges could feel a bit negative. But like you said earlier, there's definitely a silver lining here, which brings us nicely to why the hype fizzled out. And maybe more importantly, why this isn't some kind of AI winter doom scenario, but actually maybe paving the way for something better. So beyond just the numbers, there are some clear reasons why the initial excitement sort of deflated.
Mm.
First off, there was this huge issue of AI being massively overpromised and underdelivered. You had tools like, say, GPT-5, these big language models, marketed as totally revolutionary.
Yeah, game changers.
Exactly. But then companies tried to actually use them to integrate them properly into how they work. And they really struggled. The reality just didn't match up to those grand promises,
A lot of sizzle, but maybe not enough steak for everyday use?
You could say that, right. Precisely. And secondly, the risks started becoming much harder to ignore.
Okay, like what?
Well, we've seen all sorts of things, like deepfake job applicants, which creates huge ethical headaches for HR. Imagine trying to hire someone who isn't even real.
Oh, wow, yeah.
To, you know, reports of AI chatbots apparently causing real distress, even triggering mental health issues for some users. The potential downsides just start looking bigger and bigger compared to the benefits for a lot of organizations.
Mm.
And then finally, there's just the sheer complexity. That's been a massive hurdle. Most employees, they simply don't know how to use these AI tools effectively, really.
Without clear direction, good training. These super expensive AI systems often just ended up being, well, expensive toys gathering digital dust.
Okay, so it feels like we're definitely moving past the AI as a magic wand phase.
Yeah.
But if this isn't the end for AI, like you said, what kind of correction are we actually seeing? What does the silver lining look like?
This is where it gets really interesting, I think. It's absolutely not a death knell for AI. It's a much needed correction. The tools, the applications that are going to stick around and actually thrive, they're the ones that solve real specific problems, not the ones that just offer flashy demos that maybe don't work so well in practice.
Okay.
And this shift is so important because it's pushing us towards more pragmatic, more human-centered AI, tools designed to genuinely work with us, for us, on tangible challenges.
Yeah.
It forces a more thoughtful approach, you know, more ethical and ultimately much more useful. It's about building AI that actually serves you.
That's a really helpful way to frame it, AI as a genuine collaborator. So thinking about our listeners, how can they spot the difference? How do they find the genuinely useful stuff amidst all the noise?
Great question. It boils down to looking for AI that fits into one of three main types of successful use cases. And the key thing is AI should enhance your work, not try to completely replace you.
Okay, what are the three types?
So first, there's augmentation. This is where AI helps draft something or assists with a task. But crucially, human judgment stays firmly in the loop.
Like AI drafting an email, but you always edit and approve it before sending.
Exactly like that.
Mm.
It saves time on the grunt work, but you keep that vital human oversight. That's key.
Makes sense. What's number two?
Second is automation, but specifically for repetitive tasks that don't really need creativity or complex judgment.
Okay, like what kind of tasks?
Think AI scheduling meetings based on everyone's availability, or maybe sorting through initial job applications based on defined criteria. Mundane stuff.
Right, freeing up human time for more complex things.
Precisely. It handles the routine efficiently. And third is insight generation. This is where AI analyzes data, maybe large amounts of data, to help humans spot trends, patterns, and ultimately make better, more informed decisions.
So like AI analyzing customer feedback to find common themes or issues.
Exactly. It provides valuable information, but the decision based on that information, that still rests with a human.
Okay. Augmentation, automation of repetitive tasks, and insight generation. That clarifies things a lot. Now, for our listeners, can you give some concrete examples of tools out there right now that kind of embody this responsible, effective approach? What are the tools worth your time?
Absolutely. When you're looking, really prioritize tools that are transparent about what they do, ethical in their approach, and designed for specific problems, not just general AI. For smaller businesses, for example, a combination like Mistral AI, that's a leading EU-based model known for being DSGVO compliant, so strong on data privacy.
Okay, that's important.
Very. Combining that with something like Flowwise, which lets you build AI workflows without needing code, can be really powerful. It gives you serious AI capability, but with that privacy focus built in from the start.
So a strong privacy-aware engine, plus an easy way to tailor it to your specific needs without being a programmer. That sounds practical.
It really is. And for, say, job seekers, custom GPTs are becoming really interesting. These are like personalized AI assistants you can build or use. The author mentioned their own application AI Navigator. These tools don't just write generic stuff for you. They're designed to guide you in highlighting your own strengths, optimizing your resume or cover letter, but crucially, without losing your unique voice. It's about making you sound better, not making you sound like a robot.
Refinement, not replacement. I like that.
Exactly. And for HR folks, think about AI that screens applications based on actual skills demonstrated, right, rather than just hunting for keywords. That can seriously help reduce bias in hiring and, as we mentioned, tackle problems like those fake, deepfake applicants.
That is such crucial advice then. Focus on tools that augment, automate the mundane, or generate insights, but always, always keep the human involved. It really hammers home that point. Maybe be wary of anything promising full automation. The best AI seems to be a collaborator, right?
Absolutely.
Which leads us perfectly into meeting that no-hype rule book you mentioned earlier. How do we actually use AI responsibly without getting burned?
Okay, yes. Let's make this really practical. Here are some actionable steps to empower you.
First, start small. Seriously. Don't try to suddenly implement AI across your whole business or life overnight. Pick one specific manageable task. Maybe it's drafting first versions of emails, maybe summarizing certain reports, maybe analyzing one small specific data set. Test AI there. See what works, what doesn't. Learn as you go.
Okay, incremental steps. That feels much less daunting. What's next?
Second, and this is like non-negotiable, keep humans in the loop. Always. Review AI output. Always. Like the example from the source, the author uses AI for blog drafts, right? Mm-hmm. But the final edit, the crucial human touch, the perspective, that's always their own. It ensures quality, accuracy, catches mistakes, because honestly, AI gets things wrong a lot. You need to be the final editor, the fact checker.
That human oversight as the essential safety net makes total sense. And with data being such a big concern everywhere, what about privacy?
Third, definitely focus on ethics and data privacy. This is just getting more and more critical. You might want to actively consider using European tools like Mistral because they often have to follow stricter rules like DSGVO. That can help you sidestep some of the privacy risks you might encounter with platforms that maybe aren't as tightly regulated. It's about being smart about where your information goes.
Those are excellent, really concrete steps. Thank you. It makes me think, though, in this world where AI is becoming a tool, what human skills actually become even more valuable? What are the things AI just can't do?
That's such a great question, because this shift doesn't mean humans are less important, quite the opposite. Certain skills become premium. First, there's prompt engineering, basically knowing how to talk to AI effectively, how to ask the right questions, give the right instructions to get genuinely useful, relevant results back. It's becoming a real skill.
Right, communicating with the machine.
Exactly. Second, critical thinking is absolutely paramount. You need the ability to look at what the AI gives you and spot when it's wrong, when it's biased, when it's missed the point. Mm. Because trust me, it happens often. AI doesn't truly understand context or nuance like we do.
Okay, so discernment is key.
Huge. And third, emotional intelligence, EQ. AI cannot build real relationships. It can't read the room, understand subtle social cues, or genuinely empathize. These uniquely human abilities, they become massive differentiators in an AI-assisted workplace. And here's a quick pro tip for you. If any tool claims it can do it all, just run away.
Yeah.
Seriously. The most effective AI tools are usually narrow and specific. They're designed for particular tasks, not to be some kind of magic bullet for everything. Remember that real-world example from the source. The custom AI built for job seekers.
Yeah.
It doesn't write the whole application.
Yeah.
It guides the user.
Yeah.
Helps them highlight their unique strengths effectively.
Yeah.
The result. Applications that are put together faster, sure, but still sound completely human, completely authentic. It's about amplifying your abilities, not replacing them.
Okay, let's really unpack this then for everyone listening. This whole situation, this market correction, this shift away from pure hype, it actually sounds like a pretty significant opportunity, doesn't it? So thinking about your own career, your professional journey, what does all this mean for you?
It's fascinating, really.
Yeah.
Because what we're seeing is companies are practically drowning in AI options, right? There's so much out there.
Yeah.
But at the same time, they're starving for clear, practical advice. This creates this huge demand for people we could call AI translators.
AI translators. Okay, tell me more.
These are the individuals who can bridge that gap. They can take the complex AI tech and explain it in plain language. They can show real, tangible results, not just flashy demos. And crucially, they keep a strong focus on ethics and simplicity. If you can be that person, you'll be incredibly valuable, pretty much regardless of your industry.
So it's about being the person who can cut through the jargon, demystify it, and actually make AI work reliably and responsibly. How can listeners start positioning themselves like that?
Well, it gives you a really clear way to frame your skills right now. If you're a freelancer or a consultant, maybe your pitch becomes something like, I help businesses use AI effectively without all the hype. Simple, direct.
Okay.
If you're looking for a job, maybe you frame it as, I can show you how to leverage AI tools to get better results faster, but without losing your authentic voice or brand.
Makes sense.
And if you're an educator, AI isn't magic. Let me show you how to teach it and use it responsibly. This is genuinely a unique moment to stand out, not just as someone who uses AI, but as someone who truly understands its practical, ethical application.
That's really powerful framing. Okay, so for anyone listening who's thinking, right, I want to seize this opportunity, what's a concrete action plan? What steps can they take starting today?
Okay, perfect. To become that valuable AI translator, here's a simple three-step plan you can start with. Step one, audit your current AI use. Seriously, take a hard look at the tools you're using now, if any. Ask yourself, Are they genuinely saving me time and effort? Or are they actually creating more work, more complexity? Could a simpler, maybe more focused tool, perhaps like Mistral, that EU one we talked about, instead of a huge general model like ChatGPT, do a specific job better, maybe more ethically, especially regarding data?
Right, bit of spring cleaning for your AI toolkit.
Exactly. Step two, learn anti-hype AI. This means deliberately seeking out information beyond the mainstream marketing push. Follow projects, maybe especially those based in the EU, as they often have that stronger focus on regulation and practical responsible use. Also, experiment with local AI tools if you can. Platforms like Hugging Face, which is a hub for open source models, let you play around and build custom things. It helps you understand how it actually works under the hood, away from the sales pitch.
Get hands-on, understand the mechanics, got it. What's step three?
Step three, share what works. This is crucial. Document your successes, even small ones. Write a little case study, could be just a paragraph or two, how I use this AI tool to cut my report writing time by 20%, or maybe how I used AI guidance to land 3 interviews this month. Maybe host a super informal workshop like a lunch and learn on AI for non-techies for your colleagues or a local group. And the most important part, be totally transparent. If you use AI, say so. Explain how and why it helps you get a real result. That honesty builds incredible trust and really demonstrates genuine expertise.
What an incredible journey we've covered today. From that initial, almost overwhelming AI hype to arriving at this much more, well, grounded and practical reality. It really does feel like the AI gold rush, as some called it, is settling down.
And honestly, I think that's a relief. I really do. Because what's left and what we should be focusing on now is getting to the AI we deserve.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the kind that actually works for us.
How would you define that, the AI we deserve?
It's AI that respects human knowledge and expertise. AI that solves specific, clearly defined problems really well. AI that doesn't require you to have a PhD just to figure out how to use it effectively. With the hype fading, we can finally concentrate on the real question. How do we make AI truly work for you?
That sums it up perfectly. So as you go about your day, maybe chew on this thought. What's one small, specific problem or task in your daily work or even your life that a truly human-centered AI solution could genuinely help you with either augmenting what you do or automating something simple, freeing you up to focus on the things that absolutely require your unique human skills? Thanks for joining us on the Deep Dive.